All right, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf chof in Makos. We're back on daf Yetzimut Beis, and let's take one step backwards, and we'll take a whole bunch of steps forward. Let's go back to the beginning of this discussion of Maaser Sheni. There's a Makos, there's a lav for eating Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. There's also a lav for eating Maaser Sheni while in a state of Tumah. There are two Mishnayos in the third parak of Makos. Each Mishnah is describing a different scenario. Okay? Let's start again. We're three lines down from the top of the page. Kache kachem tanina chadazimna. We learned this in a brisa one time. Maaser Sheni behektish lo niftu. Maaser Sheni in hektish, which was not redeemed. Mam Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, Sefer, Maaser Sheni tahor. V'gavra tahor deka achel chutz l'choma. The second Mishnah, the one we just learned, is talking about eating Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. The Maaser Sheni's tahor, your tahor, you're eating it outside of Yerushalayim, hence you're going to get Makos. Reisha b'Maaser Sheni tamei v'gavra tamei deka achel b'Yerushalayim. And the Reisha is talking about where either the Maaser Sheni is tamei or your tamei, and you eat it deka achel b'Yerushalayim, and you're eating it in Yerushalayim. Good. Excellent. Okay, now, we know that it is prohibited to eat it outside Yerushalayim, that's clear. We're now going to learn the source of how do we know that you're not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni while in a state of Tumah. Netanya Rabbi Shimon Amar lo biyarti mimena b'tameh, bein shani tameh v'hutar, bein shani tar v'hutameh. The Torah says, lo biyarti mimena b'tameh, that's part of the vidu in Maaser. You make a confession at the end of the third and sixth year. This is not a bad confession, it's a good confession. You simply go over the things that I did correctly when I go when I separated my chumas and maestros. So one of the things the Torah has us saying is, lo biyarti mimena b'tameh. I didn't... Biyarti means literally destroy it, but that's not what it means. It means I didn't eat it while in a state of tumah. Lo biyarti mimena b'tameh. V'heichan muzar al achila, eini yodea. The Braisa ends off kind of awkward. The Braisa says, and where's the azhara? Where in the Torah is there a prohibition that tells us that you're not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni while you're tameh? And the Braisa says, eini yodea, I don't know. Okay. Awkward end to a Braisa, right? it's the correct question to ask, but you would expect the Braisa to be able to provide us with that information. Now, Tumas Aguf the Gemara now, this is the Gemara interjecting and helping us understand a little bit better. Tumas Aguf the Hedjuksiv. Now look, if the person himself is Tamei, that we know. Never shashati gabo. Any person that comes into contact with tuma, tamei adarutz v'lo yocham in a kachim inalati kodesh. All right, that's clear. So if you're tamei and the maaser sheni is tahor, that's absolutely clear that that's a lav. Ela tumas atzman minayin. What we want to know is tumas atzman. How do I know if the maaser sheni is tamei and you're tahor? So how do I know that that's a lav? Dichsiv lo sucha lechol b'sharecha. You're not allowed to eat it in your gates. In reference to an animal which was kodesh, specifically a bechor, then becomes disqualified. The Torah says, "Bisharecha tochlenu." You can eat it in your gates. Meaning, you can eat it wherever you want. Atameh v'atahor. Both the tam and the Torah together. You can even have a tummy Torah person eating in the same plate, and you don't have to worry. Over there, that's fine. But when it comes to Maaser Sheni, and it the Maaser Sheni becomes tamei, lo sechol, that you're not allowed to eat. Okay, period. Okay, so even though the Braisa ends off with a very bizarre in yodea, I don't know the answer, but the Gemara provides for us sources for how we know you're not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni when you're tamei. Quickly to summarize, Maaser Sheni, there are two lavin mentioned in the third parak of Makos. One lav, one negative prohibition is to eat Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. That's the first Mishnah. And the second Mishnah describes eating Maaser Sheni while in the state of Tumah. Either your Tumah or the Maaser Sheni's Tumah, one of the two. That's also going to be allowed even if you're in Yerushalayim.
If Maaser Sheni is Tumah and you get a dozen from
No, you can't become Tumah from a food. the Meister Shein is not an avatuma, it's not a source. A person can only become tummy from an avatuma, from a source of tuma, on a daraisa level. Okay. One thing I want to mention, I can't go forward in the Gemara without mentioning, is this is pretty much the end of Rashi in Makos. Okay? I'll just show you this on the side of the Gemara. In that first long Rashi, on the page about eight lines down, so you'll see the following parenthetical note. Right? I'm reading in the Rashi, in the parenthetical note. Rabbeinu, our rabbi, meaning Rashi, gufo tahor, his body was pure, the yatso nishmaso bitahara, and his neshama left bitahara in a state of purity. Now Rashi, whoever's authoring this, is not Rashi writing this, whoever authored this is working on a double entendre, meaning that we just got finished learning about Meister Sheni, whether it's tamei and your tahor. Now, this is just a halacha, simple halacha in Tuma Tahara. But the last thing that Rashi was writing about was Tahara, was being pure. So the author over here writes that Yatsa Nishmasa B'Tahara, that when Rashi so left, it left in a state of purity, right? Both, that's the last thing that he taught, and obviously the second entendre is that his soul was a pure soul.
About Rashi himself.
Lo Pir Shioser. And that's it, meaning from this point forward now, in Makos, there's only 3 days left of Makos, 4 days left of Makos, but from that point forward now, it's no longer Rashi. So who is it? Who are we going to be reading on the side of the Gemara now? Mikan ve'elech, Lashon Talmido, Rav Yehuda bar Nasan. So he had a student by the name of Rav Yehuda bar Nasan, right? The famous clothing line Benetton. So Benetton is Ben Nasan, probably more accurately pronounced Ben Natan. But that's Rav Yehuda ben Hassan. Now, on the side of the Gemara, it says that he was a son-in-law of Rashi. Okay, I'll let the academics work out exactly who he is, but he's certainly one of the Balei HaTosfos. Over here, in this parenthetical note, said to be a student of Rashi, perhaps even a son-in-law of Rashi. Okay, so he is in the more popularly known as the Rivan. The Rivan is his acronym, Resh Yud Beis Nun. Rivan, so from this point forward, now we're no longer reading Rashi on the side of the page, we're reading the Rivan. Okay.
This reference to Gufo B'Torah also refers back to Rabbi Eliezer, which was one of the...
Right, correct. Right, this is not the first time that they use such phraseology. Now it is interesting to note, this is not the only place in Shas that we don't have Rashi. Meaning, it sounds like from this little note over here, like everywhere else there's Rashi. Right? First of all, in Shas, to the idea that there's a beginning and there's an end. Meaning, this is the point where Rashi is no longer. I mean, we're going to do other Masechtos together and we're going to be learning Rashi. Right? We're going to move on in Daf Yomi. We're going to get to Shavuos in just less than a week. And we're going to be reading Rashi. So it's not like...
He didn't know it in order.
Right. It's not like this is the end of Rashi from this point forward in Shas. It's not that simple. Right? He didn't write his commentary on the Gemara in order. Right? His commentaries on Shavuos, Zvachim, Menachos, all that's Rashi. We assume. All that's Rashi. There are other areas in the Gemara where we don't have Rashi. For example, the 10th parak of Pesachim. Right, which God willing we'll learn next year in the high school. So the 10th parak of Pesachim, that's clearly not Rashi.
In Baba Basra
also, we don't have Rashi for a good part of the Masechta. Nedarim as well, most people say that that's not Rashi, even though it looks like Rashi, but that's not Rashi. So
the order of Gemara by itself, mm-hmm, was set by Rashi and Ravina.
The Gemara itself is Ravina and Ravashi.
No, but the order, what order did they write, do you know?
No, the order. Well, no.
We don't know the order they wrote.
No, we don't know, and that we don't know. We know the order in terms of that which Masechta follows which, but how they authored it and which one came first, we don't know. So same thing is true with Rashi. He obviously his working on his Perush and Gemara, was done holistically. It was done, not just page one, page two. It was a work in process. And here at the end of Makos, the last four blot of Makos. So unfortunately, it's very clear that he wrote up until this point in time, and that's it. And his student, the Rivan, takes over from here. So on the side of the Gemara now, from this point forward, whenever I say Rashi, I really mean the Rivan, and I should accurately call it the Rivan. Let's go back to the Gemara now. Let's continue in the Gemara. Okay, Pidia, right? Yeah. Uminale debar Pidiahi. Okay, new discussion. Okay, redeeming Maaser Sheni. Okay, we know that you can redeem Maaser Sheni, that you have a lot of fruit that you collect over the year, 10% of your produce, to bring it up to Yerushalayim every single time is just, it's not pragmatic. So what the Torah allows us to do is to redeem it onto money, take the money up to Yerushalayim, the money now is Kedushas Maaser Sheni, and spend the money on food in Yerushalayim and eat the food in Yerushalayim. Good. Umanali debar pidiyahu damer avalazim and ainla maaser sheni shenit mashapodin asau afilu b'yushalayim. Now the Gemara over here wants to know the following: how do I know that I can redeem it? Now, that's a funny question. How do I know I can redeem it? Redeeming maaser sheni, the Torah says you could redeem it. The Gemara over here is asking a slightly more developed question: how do I know that I can redeem maaser sheni after it's in Yerushalayim and it becomes tamei? And how do I know then that it's redeemable? Okay. You would have thought, perhaps, that once it's in Yerushalayim now, forget it. It's done. Either I eat it, or it's inedible. But there's no redemption is no longer an option.
What's the point of redeeming it once you're in Yerushalayim?
Huh?
What's the point of redeeming
it? Well, but here it's Tamei.
What?
Here it's Tamei.
No, but...
Right. I understand that, but...
constantly, your redeeming is that you don't want to be able to bring it to Yerushalayim.
Correct.
So it's like
correct.
A disposition for you to...
Correct. Correct. No, I understood there's no point to it, but it's prohibited. In other words, we're going to say that's prohibited. So once it becomes Tameh, now you're allowed to redeem it. Tama Lomar, Kilo Suchal Se'eso. I can't be Se'eso. Se'eso? Ve'ein Se'eso La'achila. The word Se'eso means to eat. Shenemar, Ve'isam Asos Me'es Panav. We find elsewhere in Chumash where the word Se'es means to carry, but also Se'es means to eat. So here, Yelo Yichal Se'eso. If you can't eat it, so then you have permission to redeem it. Again, the Gemara now is just establishing some basics regarding redeeming Maaser Sheni. One step out of the walls of Yerushalayim. Again, it's kind of obvious now. You're not in Yerushalayim, you're outside Yerushalayim. I guess the Havamina is that you're one step away. Don't redeem it, just walk it into Yerushalayim and eat Yerushalayim. As long as you're outside the walls, you have the chance to redeem it. Shenemar ki lo suchal se'eso. So the Gemara says, we learn it from lo suchal se'eso. So the Gemara says, wait a second, you just darshan that pasuk. Hai mi bai lelechad Rabbi Lazar. Im kein lemekar lo suchal la'ochlo. The Torah could have said, lo suchal la'ochlo, I'm not allowed to eat it. My se'eso. So the word se'eso, I'm sorry, the word se'eso comes to tell us that even if I'm outside Yerushalayim, I have the as even one step outside Yerushalayim, I have the ability to redeem it. The Gemara says, "Why now that I have the word say so? Why can't I use it exclusively for the second drasha, not the first drasha?" The word say so gives us two working definitions. One is I'm not allowed to eat it, meaning that if I brought it into Yerushalayim, it becomes tamei. I can redeem it. And the second halacha is that if I am outside Yerushalayim, even one step out of Yerushalayim, I have the opportunity to redeem it. Okay, two more really technical questions.
It's not tamei, you cannot redeem it. You can only redeem it if it becomes tamei Yerushalayim.
Right, correct. Okay, two more very technical questions, and then we're going to move on. Yosef Rav Chanin Rav Oshiv Kamibai Le'apischad Yerushalayim, Apischad Yerushalayim. They're by the gates of Yerushalayim, and they're asking the following question. Pshita. So let's start off with an obvious point. Hu b'chutz umaso b'fnim. You're bringing Maaser Sheni in, and you're pushing it in one of those what's those things called when you go to Publix? Carts, carriages, shopping cart. So not an activity I do that often. Okay, it's fine. Thank God. So the right.
Standing on the
either that's their physical location.
What's the question?
No, not yet.
Sure.
Am I sure? No, not 100%. No. The pshita is now going to go on. Here's what's pashut. Right. The Gemara is going to tell us what's pashut, and then the Gemara is going to tell us what's not pashut. Yeah. Pshita hu b'chutz maso b'fnim. So. let's go over what's obvious. So I have the shopping cart, and I'm bringing my Meister Sheni into Yerushalayim with a shopping cart. Okay, you know, it gives an air of poverty, but fine. Let's just for the purposes of imagery, it works. Okay, so I'm pushing the Meister Sheni into Yerushalayim in a shopping cart. So let's now freeze frame the moment where the shopping cart's inside the walls and I'm still outside. Kolteu mechitzos. So that's obvious that there's klita, that the wall will absorb the Meister Sheni. Even though you physically are outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, but who cares where you are? Right now, the Meister Sheni is inside the walls of Yerushalayim. It's attached to you only because you're pushing the cart, but it's inside. That's pasha. That's obvious. Okay? However, here's what's not obvious. Let's go the other way around. Let's say you're wearing the Meister Sheni on a backpack. Right, let's use the backpack scenario, and you'll see why I'm going to be particular about the example I'm going to use. Let's say you're bringing Meister Sheni on a backpack. And so again, let's freeze frame that moment where you're inside the wall, but the backpack is still outside Yerushalayim. Okay? At that moment in time, has the walls absorbed the Meister Sheni? So, it's similar. The Gemara does spend some time going over these types of questions, you know, trying to subdivide, you know, the item from the person. Masu b'chutz mahu tanalu ausaba b'debei Rabbi Shimon b'Yochai ki yirchak mimcha hamakom. When the place is far away from you, right, describing, you're not near Yerushalayim, you're not in Yerushalayim, you're far away from the place. Mimilu acha, from your entirety. Now, period. That is the Gemara's answer to the question. Honestly, the Gemara's answer to the question is unclear. Like, what is the Gemara saying? Yes, no, maybe, I'm not sure. The Gemara just simply ends with the words, Milu acha, your entire, your entity is in Yerushalayim, and therefore, right, so let's take a look at the Rivan. Mimaluacha. So it's three lines down, right? Not Rashi, now it's the Rivan. Mikom milushacha umaso shel adam chashiv milu'o. Whatever you're carrying is considered part of you, right? Miluacha, says the Rivan, his understanding is that you carry something, it's you. It's part of you. So if you're in Yerushalayim, so let me finish reading. Shaldam Khashmilo, Delo Tema Mimcha, Mimiksasecha, de Chosman, Shirikak Rikak Miksasrah Yihinifta, Ela Kiyurchak Mimlucha Pado, Ava Kesha Atabifnim, if you're inside, O Masaachabifnim, or the package is inside, Lo Rachak Hamakom Mimluacha. The place is not far from you, meaning you're there. The shuv lo sifdeh, and now you no longer have the opportunity to redeem. Ela va'achalta sham. Now you have a mitzvah of eating the Meister Sheni there. So the way the Rivan understands the Gemara's answer, although the Gemara is very unclear about what it's saying, the Rivan is very clear about how he understands it. The package, even though physically not in Yerushalayim, because it's attached to you, and because you're in Yerushalayim, the package, the Meister Sheni backpack, is also in Yerushalayim as well. Okay, next. I'm sorry. By Rav Papa Nakala Bikinyamau. Next question. Let's say you're not wearing it on a backpack. Let's say you're carrying it on a stick. Right? You have that old Norman Rockwell image of the boy with the stick in his hands. So here, right, you have the Meister Sheni on a stick. So, and I guess the question over here, because it's extraordinarily technical, is that unlike the backpack, which is part of you, the stick is not as part of you. And so now, same question, but not backpack, but stick. Teku, the Gemara feels that I don't have an answer to this question. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay? Put that on the back burner. We'll come back to that in just a little bit. Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Meister Sheni, Memasai Chayavan Alav. Here we go again. Much like Bikurim, which we discussed yesterday, that there's not a chi of Malkus until you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, into the temple courtyard, with the Bikurim. Similar discussion over here, meaning that I designated as Meister Sheni, right? And good, now it has the status of Meister Sheni. But it does not, you're not going to get the full liability of Meister Sheni until it was Roa Pnei Achoma, until it sees the face of the wall, until you bring it into the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay, unlike Bikurim, by the way, which is contingent on the Beis HaMikdash, Maaser Sheni is eaten in Yerushalayim. And subsequently, its defining boundary is going to be the walls of Yerushalayim. That's why it says over here, Pnei Choma. My time, Adam, Akar Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Toch Lenu. In front of Hashem, V'ksiv, Lo Sucha Le'echol Bisha'arecha. You're not allowed to eat it in your sharkal. Hecha de Karinan Bey Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Toch Lenu. Karinan Bey Lo Sucha Le'echol Bisha'arecha. When it's Lifnei Hashem, then you attach the love of Lo Sucha. However, okay. So we have a big chiddush over here in the Gemara that even though Maaser Sheni cannot be eaten outside of Yerushalayim, until it's actually brought into Yerushalayim, you're not subject to Malkus. You're only going to be subject to Malkus if you bring the Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim and then you backpedal and you walk out of Yerushalayim, then and only then are you subject to Malkus. Okay, now to be clear, before you walked into Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to eat the Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. That's very clear. But the Chiddush of Ravasi is that you're not subject to Malkus. It only becomes a formal lav only when you bring it into Yerushalayim and out of Yerushalayim. Okay.
What was this used as an example of when you had this concept of when you do something that's not reversible?
Right.
If you step out, that's it. You cannot go back in.
Right. Again. Right. And over here, no, you can bring the Maaser Sheni back into Yerushalayim.
No. But once you take it out, you get malchus right there, no?
No. Eating it outside Yerushalayim. Just taking it out of Yerushalayim by itself is not a lav. Okay. Right. But eating it outside Yerushalayim now becomes a formal lav. Okay.
Applying to the Tzartov HaKesser.
It's just that. I don't know how to explain it. It is somewhat bizarre. I mean, he bases it on a connection between the two psukim, right? When it's lifnei Hashem, then you have the prohibition of lo sucha lechol. Okay, so right. Say, but how to understand it? How to conceptualize it? It's difficult. When you're outside Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to eat outside Yerushalayim. Okay, fine. Nesve, the Gemara now will challenge this. Based on the following braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kohen Shalta Biyado Teina Shal Tevel. So a Kohen that has a fig, and the fig is Tevel, totally untithed. Amar Teina Zu Trumasa Beuktsa. And so now, right? Let's zoom in on the fig, and now what he's going to do is going to separate Trumasa Maisos. Now the best thing to do is to separate it. Not one at a time, but to do it in a bushel and take a 2% and give it to Truma. Take the next 10% and give it to Maaser Rishon, to the Levium, etc., etc. Okay, but still, right, tithing can be done even on a per fig basis. So that's exactly what he does over here. So he holds up the fig. And he says the Truma is right next to the Ukitz, right next to the stem. Not the stem itself. The stem itself is not a fruit, but the piece of fruit that's next to the stem, that's Truma. Okay, Maaser Rishon Bitzvona, and now we're going to divide the fig on a north, east, southwest basis. So the north end, that's where you're going to find Maaser Rishon. Okay, Maaser Sheni Ledroma, and Maaser Sheni now is to the south. He's not left with a lot of fig left. He can eat the eastern portion of the fig, the western portion of the fig. V'ishnas Maaser Sheni. V'hu b'Yerushalayim. All Maaser Ani v'hu b'Gvulin. Okay, and we'll go either way. We'll go either it's Maaser Sheni and Yerushalayim route, or it's Maaser Ani and you're in the Gvulin. Okay, it's going to become an important point, but that's not the main Bryce's point. And then Achla. Achla, and then he ate it. Okay, so follow what's happening over here. He's a Kohen, he has one fig, he separated the Truma, meaning didn't actually take it off, but pointed to an area on the fig and said, that's the area of Truma. And he pointed to another area and he says, that's the area of Maaser Rishon. And then, again, it's Maaser Sheni and he's in Yerushalayim. Or it's Maaser Ani, it's outside. Okay? In other words, what the Bryce is just simply saying is, don't focus right now on Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani. And then he eats it, loke achas. He gets one set of lashes. Okay? Bonus question for today. Why? Why is he going to get a set of lashes? Right? He's a Kohen. He's allowed to eat Truma. Okay? It's a tough question. The answer is not obvious. Okay. Good. So the so why is he going to get a set of lashes? So Rash, the Rivan over here explains it as follows. Top Rivan on the page, on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. The Lo Hotzi Amidi Tevel B'Kriya Shem Zeh V'Ka'achel Maiser Rishon HaTavol L'Trumas Maiser. So here's what he stumbled upon. Even though he took off Truma, as is appropriate, he took off Maiser Rishon, as is appropriate, it's unfinished. He didn't finish tithing. Because from Maiser Rishon, the 10% that you give to a Levi, the next 10% of that, or if you like, 1% of the total, has to be given to a Kohen. This is what's called Trumas Maiser. It doesn't matter. You're right, by the way, but it doesn't matter. In other words, over here, the bottom line is that it is Maiser Rishon where you didn't take off the Truma of the Maiser Rishon. You're right. We could talk about whose fault it is, but the bottom line is...
Why is he responsible for the lashing?
He's only responsible because he ate Tevel. Period. Just nice and simple.
But the thing is that it's not his... His job is to give Maser to
Levi. I understand, but you're focusing on responsibility. And I'm not arguing with you. I'm just simply saying, look at the result. The result is he ate Tevel. Maiser Rishon, where you did not take off the Trumas Maiser, the 10% of that, now it's still Tevel. That's exactly what the Rivan says. Maiser Rishon, a Tevel, a Truma Maiser, the Ka'aver Alav de Tevel. And so what he ate is Tevel. Right? Aval Iser, Truma de Achaleka de Hakoinu. The Rivan goes, look, as far as eating Truma is concerned, that's not a problem because he's a Kohen. When he Hava Amar Trumas Maiser Bem Siasa, Hava Matza Achal Kula, Velolaki. If he would have finished off his tithing by identifying the Trumas Maiser, so then the Rivan says he would have been fine. Right? Okay, stop here on the Rivan. Okay, good. So that is point number one. Continuing in the Braisa, Vizar Sha'achla Lo Kishtayim. What if you're not a Kohen and you ate it? You're going to get two such sets of makos. She'ila betchila achla ino loke ela achas. If you would have eaten it from the get-go, you'd only been chayev once because it's tevel. But now that the Kohen went through the process of separating Truma and Maaser Rishon, if you're a non-Kohen and you eat it, you're going to get two sets of makos. Okay, fine. Now, that is the end of the Braisa. So the Braisa over here, again, remember, because this is a little complicated. We are coming off the Chiddush of Rav Asi. Rav Asi says that when you get Malkus from Maaser Sheni, only when you bring it into Yerushalayim, take it out of Yerushalayim, and eat it outside of Yerushalayim. Then and only then you're going to get Malkus. Good. Now the Gemara quotes this Braisa, which really has almost nothing to do with Maaser Sheni, and the Gemara now is going to make an inferential reading in the Braisa. Okay, watch. Time of the East of Yerushalayim. The Braisa made it very clear that you were in Yerushalayim. Ha bigvulin, but had you not been in Yerushalayim, and you would have eaten this, lokeshalosh, you would have gotten three sets of lashes. Another set of lashes for eating Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. Okay. So what the Gemara, now the Braisa didn't say that, but the Gemara assumes that the Braisa meant it because the Braisa went out of its way to say, you were in Yerushalayim. Had you not been Yerushalayim, that would have been another set of malchus. Okay. Those words the Bach takes out, it doesn't belong over here. Anyway, so that is the Gemara's question on Rav Asi, because the Gemara is assuming that it never came into Yerushalayim, meaning it was from its inception outside Yerushalayim, and still you're going to get Malkus. The Gemara gives a very simple answer, De'aili ve'afke. Alright, so you know what? I will tell you, keep your reading of the Braisa, but I will tell you, you know why you're going to get Malkus feeding Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim? Because you brought it into Yerushalayim and you took it out. Okay, that's what we're going to assume. Ihachi ma'la meimra. The Gemara says, yeah, and so where's the Chiddush? Hacha b'maiskin and kagon da'ilina b'tivlayhu. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. When you brought into Yerushalayim, you took off no Trumos and Maitras. You brought it in a state of Tevel. And now the Chiddush goes as follows. V'kasavar manosh lo hormo kemisho hormo damyan. Okay. Even though when you brought it into Yerushalayim, it did not, you didn't take off Trumos and Maitras, it's as if the Maitras Sheni is represented there in the fruit. Okay, we come across this concept a number of times throughout the Gemara. Before taking off Trumos and Maitras, right, you know you're going to take off Truma. You know you're going to take off Maitras. You know that. Okay? Before you actually do it, can you somehow see the Trumos and Maitras that are there? Right? Can you see it there? So there is an opinion throughout the Gemara that Mano Shalo Hormo Kamisha Hormo Damyan, that even though you haven't actually taken off Trumos and Maitras yet, it's there. Right? It's Kemisha Horma Damyan. It's like Trumos and Maitras are there. And over here, what does that mean? It means you took the fruit into Yerushalayim. You didn't take off Trumos and Maitras. But the mere fact that you know the Maitras Sheni is in there now means that the Maitras Sheni, although right now in its potential state, has been in Yerushalayim. When you take it outside of Yerushalayim and you eventually take off Maitras Sheni, you're subject to Malkus.
What if the produce that you bring is part of a larger
right
produce? That's you're just bringing a portion, and the other portion is left at home.
Okay, fine. So that you're fine. That's only going to complicate
that individual. Bin required its own
right. Food. Right. And just we're going as a per fruit basis, so makes it easier. But even if we're going on a bin basis, but still, the Maitras Sheni is there, even though right now we didn't take it off yet. Okay.
The Braisa,
no, the Braisa just simply says Vehu b'Yerushalayim. Correct. And the Gemara now makes a diuk. It's only because he was in Yerushalayim he got saved from Malkus for eating Maitras Sheni. The Gemara's medayik. Had he been outside Yerushalayim, he would have gotten another set of Malkus. That's it. It's it. It's a diuk. It's not. The Gemara.
Right, it's not on that issue.
It's on the Ravasi. The Gemara is challenging Ravasi by making such a diuk that had he been outside Yerushalayim, he would have gotten Malkus. And even if he never walked into Yerushalayim, he still would have gotten Malkus. And then the Gemara deflects by saying, you know what? The Bryce is talking about a case where he took his Maitras Sheni in and then brought it out. And that's why he would have gotten Malkus. That's the Gemara's deflection, and that's the Gemara's defense of Ravasi. Fine. What's the Chiddush? Chiddush is he brought it in even before he identified which part is Trumas Mais, which part is Maitras Sheni. And then the Gemara. Okay, let's go on. Let's just finish up this little part over here. V'savar Rav Yosi, manosh lo horma kemisho horma dami v'atanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda amar mishum Rav Yosi, lo nechlugu beisham ben beisola al Rav Yosi. Sorry. Lo nechlugu beisham ben beisola al perish lo nigmar malachtam, v'avru b'yushalayim, sheyifte maister sheni shalahem. Look, if you bring fruit, raw fruit, where you didn't even finish the gemar malacha, meaning it's not yet processed, so and you bring it into Yerushalayim, you bring it out of Yerushalayim, you could still do pidyon, you could still redeem. V'yochel b'chol makom, and you can eat it wherever you want. Ama nechliku, aperish nigru malachtam. We're talking now about processed fruit. Fruit which is totally finished, processed. The aviv Yerushalayim. And you bring into Yerushalayim, she beishamai ormim yachzir, maister sheni shalahem, v'yochel b'Yerushalayim. Beishamai says you got to keep it in Yerushalayim. Now, right, I'm going to say this respectfully, but ignore Beit Shammai, ignore him, okay? Because right now, that's not the point the Gemara is looking at, and the Rivan points out, Beit Shammai b'makam Beit Shammai in a Mishnah, ignore Beit Shammai, uVeit Shammai omrim, yifte v'yochal b'chol makam. Okay. Beit Shammai says that when you bring in produce into Yerushalayim, untithed, you didn't take off Truma, you didn't take off Maitras Rishon, you didn't take off Maitras Sheni, you can take it out of Yerushalayim, tithe, take off Maitras Sheni, and redeem it.
That's finished produce.
Right, finished produce. And redeem it. and it becomes abundantly clear, and this is not just Beis Hillel talking, but this is Rav Yossi's version of Beis Hillel. So it becomes clear that Rav Yossi subscribes to the idea that before you take off Trumas HaMaisros, it's not there. It doesn't exist until after the tithing. That is Rav Yossi's opinion. So the so you see clearly that Rav Yossi does not subscribe to this concept. Other Tanaim do, but not Rav Yossi. The Isa Gadachamana Shlomo Kemishur Madamyan. So Hakalo Mechitzos. So the Gemara says, so right, you have a problem. The Mechitzos were collate. The Mechitzos absorbed the Meister Sheni, even though you didn't take it off yet. Clearly, you see, Rav Yossi does not subscribe to this principle of matno shelo hormo kimishu horma damyan. Okay? So, I'm a rabba. So, on this, the Gemara is going to give a fundamental principle. Mechitza lachol daraisa. As far as eating Meister Sheni in Yerushalayim is concerned, the mechitza is there. When I'm inside Yerushalayim, I eat it in Yerushalayim, and that's daraisa. Meaning, I have to eat in Yerushalayim, I can't eat it outside Yerushalayim. Mechitza liklot. The idea that the mechitzas absorb the fruit, meaning that when I bring Meister Sheni into Yerushalayim, I'm stuck. I can't bring it out anymore. That's only a din derabanan. The chigaz derabanan and the gzera derabanan is ki isa be'ene when the Meister Sheni is there. But, wait just a second, let me just finish. B'tivlei lo gaz derabanan. But in a state of tevel, then the Chachamim didn't make a gzera. I guess the idea is that it's not shkiach, it's not that common. So the Chachamim didn't make a gzera. Okay, so Rabba lays down a principle that no, we can even entertain the idea that Rav Yossi subscribes to the idea of Manos Lo Hormo Kimisho Madamyan. It just happens to be that in this case over here, you're only violating the rule of Klita, not the idea of Achila. And if you want to bring it outside Yerushalayim, generally, once Meister Sheni is in Yerushalayim, that's it. It's there. You can't bring it out. But in a state of untithed, then you could bring it outside of Yerushalayim. Okay, that is one approach of the Gemara. Ravina Amar, Kigon Denakula Bikina. Ravina says, no, you know what? What bothered you so much about the Braisa? Your question about the Braisa is, I brought it in and I took it out. And the Braisa is telling me that then I'm going to get Malkus. Again, the Braisa doesn't say any of that. We deduced all that. And then the Gemara says, what's the Chiddush? So the Gemara says, maybe you know what the Chiddush could be? It could be talking about a case where you carried it in on a stick. Or you carried it out on a stick. And the question that we entertained earlier was, carrying it in on a stick, is that considered like it's in? Is that considered like it's out? Now, originally the Gemara said teiku. Maybe the Ravina saying that what the Bryce is telling us right now is that no, bringing it on a stick is like bringing it into Yerushalayim. And as far as what the Chiddush of the Bryce is, that's exactly what the Chiddush of the Bryce is. The Tifsha by the Rav Papa, and then we can answer the question of Rav Papa. Okay. So ends our discussion of Meister Sheni. That last part was extraordinarily complex. I'll be the first to admit it. But the as far as Meister Sheni is concerned, we have learned that Meister Sheni, once brought into Yerushalayim, is not allowed to leave Yerushalayim, has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. If you do not bring it into Yerushalayim, even if you're one step outside of Yerushalayim, you can redeem it. Once it enters into Yerushalayim, that's it. You're no longer redeemable. You have to eat it. If you bring it into Yerushalayim and bring it out of Yerushalayim and eat it, you're subject to Malkus. That's the Chiddush of Ravasi. Ravasi teaches us that before brought into Yerushalayim, it's not yet liable. It's not the formal lav of eating Meister Sheni outside Yerushalayim. It has to go in, then go out. Then you're going to get lav, and then you're going to get Malkus. And then the Gemara had a whole bunch of very detailed oriented questions about Meister Sheni being inside, you being outside, vice versa, carried in on a stick. Okay, good. Rav Yossi's principle is accepted.
Is it a fact if you redeem the money before coming, you know, your Meister Sheni, change it to coin and bring it to
right,
the line,
correct.
You have to consume the money or you have to, you can't take it back?
If Meister Sheni, no, the Meister Sheni money, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Is there klita on money?
Right.
That's a good question. Okay, I don't know. Okay.
You can bring the money and take it back. Just take it back.
Right.
Do the purpose.
Correct. Okay. New topic for today. Next topic for today, and that is hair care. Okay? We all have our hair care issues. It's all grooming. From this point forward in the Mishnah and the Gemara, it's all going to be a question of grooming. Hakorech karcha berosha, making a bald spot in your head. A prohibition in the Torah. Right? For no reason whatsoever, you want to do it. Why would you want to do it? Whatever, that's okay. It's al hames. In other words, you lost a loved one. It's terribly emotional, but it used to be very common, very accepted that people would injure themselves, right, over the mourning and over the wailing. And they would hit themselves and scratch themselves and make serrations on their body, yes, and rip out their hair.
You guys see the Muslims doing what the Ramadan.
Yeah, they do that. Okay. I'm not right. Okay. So the Torah says that the Torah says to us as a nation, don't do that. Don't make a bald spot on your head, don't make serrations in your body. Do not do that. Mourn, but the Torah gives us guidelines in terms of how to mourn appropriately. And part of mourning appropriately is not to deface our body at all. Not to remove hair, not to make serrations in our body. Again, we're learning Makos right now, so it's clinical over here. So we are just interested in what is the lav, what isn't the lav, when are you subject to Makos and when you're not subject to Makos. We're having a very clinical discussion. HaKoreh Karcha Berosho. So if you make a bald spot on your head, we'll define later in the Gemara what is a bald spot. Hamekif pa'as rosho. Or if you round off the corners of your head, right? We have sideburns growing down the sides of our head. There's a prohibition in the Torah not related to the dead, just in general. You're not allowed to round off the corners of your head. You must have sideburns, right? How far the sideburns have to go down. So the Gemara is not going to be exceedingly clear, right? It's basically there's more than one opinion, up to the bone, down to the bottom of the earlobe. Okay, various opinions amongst the.
What is that?
The Rambam says, I don't have the lashon of the Rambam handy, right? I don't know. Okay, hamakif pas rosho, so you're not allowed to round off the corners of your head. Hamashkis pas zikano, you're not allowed to destroy the hair on your face. Okay, the Rivan over here points out I'll get to it in just the Rivan in just a moment. Hamashkis pas zikano, destroying the hair on your face. Literally, by the way, not all hair on your face, the corners of your face. Okay, stay tuned. I'm going to discuss where the corners of your face are. V'hasorit srita achas al hames, or if you make one seration on your body, mourning the death of a relative, so chayev, you're going to be chayev. Any one of these activities that we just discussed, right? Making a bald spot, rounding the corners of your head, shaving the corners of your face, or seration on the body, you're going to be chayev. Sarit srita achas al chamisha mesim. If you make one seration over five dead people. Oh, chamesh shritos al meis echad, or if you make one srita, five serations on one dead, chayv akol achas v'achas, you're going to be chayv for each one. It's interesting, the first statement of the Mishnah seems to me a much bigger chiddush than the second statement. Because in the second statement, you made five serrations. Happens to be over the same dead person, but those are five different cuts in your body. Then you're going to be chayv five sets of makos. The first one is a bigger chiddush, because you made one seration. A tragedy happens, they're right, they had a car crash and five people died, and you're making one seration over the five people who died. It's a big chiddush to say that you're going to be chayv five times over, even though you did one act of seration. Okay, it seems to me that's a bigger chiddush. Ala rosh shtayim. Achas mikan v'achas mikan. The sideburns are treated independent of one another. I'm the same person. So in other words, so if I chop off one sideburn and I chop off the other sideburn, you're going to be chayv two, even though it's one person and one head. Still, each sideburn is its own lav.
And this has to be in the context of mourning?
No. Sideburns, no. Sideburns is bad grooming. It's a bad grooming issue. Al hazaken shtayim. Al hazakan. Now, as far as the beard is concerned, shtay mikan, v'achas melamata. Okay, two here, two there, and one below. without, right, the Mishnah here really should have came with a picture, right? In other words, if the Mishnah wanted to really give us guidelines of what part of the face you cannot shave, so there should have been a picture of a face over here, much like, you know, when you walk into shul, there's a picture of a guy, you know, where to put the tefillin, here, not here, here, not here. So over here, the Mishnah really should tell us. What we know, here's what we know, that there are five corners of the face. When the Torah says, pa'as zekancha, the corners of your face, we have halach l'moshe mitzina, there are five corners of the face, and with a razor, you're not allowed to shave the five corners of the face. Where the five corners are, the Mishnah is not clear. The Mishnah doesn't say. It just doesn't say. So the Rivan over here writes as follows. We'll try this together. Okay? We're trying to localize, to identify where the corners of your face are based on a description by the Rivan. It may work. I'm not sure. Okay. Chayv ala Rosh. Rivan's five lines down. Al kafetz rosh chayv shtei melkis to shtei peres yeshlo la rosh. Sharosh kishtei chatichos. Makom asir chaticha achas, makom apanim ve'azakan chaticha achas. Umizchabros zu imzeh b'tzad ha'ozen. The head and the face meet right by the ears. Okay, right? You understand? Right? It makes sense. In other words, here's the head area. Here's the face area, and the connector is right by the ears. So when we're talking about two Isurim in the Torah, one about rounding the corners of your head, and the other is shaving the corners of your face. So the point of juncture is going to be by your ears. Bitzada ozen. Melafan of makom shalo azim temple. Yeah. So the Rivan says that that's basically the temple area. Visham nikra peya. Shisham sofa rosh makom chibra prakim. Vinimtsa sheyesh lo shtei peos tzida mikan v'tzida mikan. Okay? So you have two corners over there. V'chayev aleim shtayim afilu natlan bevas achas b'shtei yadav. Even if I were to remove the two sideburns simultaneously, I took my two hands, ridiculously painful, I took my two hands and I removed the sideburns simultaneously, it's two steps of malchus. The alpha gav de charasra kamasrolei al takif de zilha chapea ika zilha chapea ika kidam alakaman gabe karcha the gabe srita the mesina de chayva kol karcha the karcha the al kol seret viseret. Okay, we'll see it later on. Each one is its own sideburn, and so therefore you're going to be chayv for both, even with one warning. Unihida hachlo tzarich liyisurim mikrod mistamaki hecha de aminan v'sara lechayva kol seret viseret hachanami aminan pas lechayva kol peya upeya. Okay, sorry. Next Rivan. Shtayim mikan. So here the Rivan is going to help us identify where the corners of your face are. Chamish peis v'yeshlo lezakan. Echa lamata min ha'ozen makom shalechi ha'tachton yotzei u'mispareid sham. V'sham nikra pe'a b'chudo shalechi shebole lechutz. Okay, so one where your jaw makes a turn. Right? In other words, where it goes down and then it makes a turn forward, so that's one corner. So that's one corner on this side and another corner on the other side. Now, Shesham mitchalek hazachem, v'choma shalamala ad atzida b'chlal peyas harosh, from that point upward is peyas harosh, okay, he, v'shtei hashiv olos kol echad mehem l'sof alechi, v'nikra peya achas melamata seir shebein hashiv olos, be'emtzer hasanter, the chin's going to be another peya, shalo azin mantan, okay, in old French it's called mantan. Okay, now somewhere here in this Rivan we're missing two corners, meaning that we certainly describe these areas over here where they made the turn, certainly the chin, but there are five. So right, so they're right. I feel like an acupuncture right now. So right, there are five.
The
Rivan's very clear that he feels that the sideburns are the head. That's still the part of the head. So in other words, when you get to that turn, so that now becomes your two corners. So I'm not really sure. I'm not 100% clear. And I don't know the physiology well enough. Right. I'm not sure where he's describing, but there are two other corners of the head. Okay, we're struggling, admittedly, struggling to find where the five corners of the face are. The Rama writes, Rambam Shulchan Aruch, I'm not 100% sure. The Rama writes, and as a principle, don't take a razor and put it anywhere on your face, right? Because no, he writes, we are not sure where the five corners are, right? The Mishnah identifies five corners. We tried to go through the Rivan together. Right? Someone better than me will do a better job going through the Rivan. But we're not sure, so the Rama writes for Ashkenazim, you shouldn't put a razor anywhere on your face because we're not 100% sure. If we could identify with pinpoint accuracy where the corners of your face are, so in theory you could take a razor and shave everywhere else on your face other than those five corners. But because we're uncertain exactly where to pinpoint those corners, so the Rama says as a principle, don't take a razor and put it to your face.
Back of the neck is okay.
Back of the neck is fine. Fine. You go to any barber in Israel, and they, Rami, first of all, it's cheaper than anything. It takes 2 minutes, and they go over the back of your neck with a razor. That's fine.
And
the neck. So I don't know. In other words, right? There comes a point in time when you're hitting face, and where that line is between neck and face. I mean,
it's not where the electric shaver stops working. Well.
Right. Maybe. Okay. Let's finish the Mishnah and let's just do a little bit of Gemara. Okay? Alazak and Shlaim Mikam Shlaim Mikam Milamata Reb Lazar. Sorry. Ala Rosh Shlaim Achas Mikam Vachas Makan. Ala Zikan Shlaim Mikam Shlaim Mikam Vachas Milamata. Rabbi Elazar Omer. Im Nitlan Kulan Kachas Eno Chayv Alachas. Rabbi Elazar says, if you pull it all off in one time, it's only one lav. Veino Chayv Ashilan Abitahar. And you're only going to be chayv when you take it off with a razor. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afilu lakta b'malakit oberhitni chayav. Rabbi Eliezer says that even if you pull it out with malakit or ihitni, I'm going to call it like the Rambam calls it, it's tweezers, just a better definition. So you're going to be chayv. Okay, we'll talk about the prohibition of how to remove. Okay, quickly, just run through these first parts of the Gemara. We'll get to the bottom of the page. Tana Rabbanan. Lo yirkechu yachol afilu karach arba v'chamesh akrichos lo yehechayv ala achas. Tama lomar karcha l'chayv akol karcha v'karcha as karcha v'karcha, period. Every bald spot that you create is its own separate lav. Okay, that's number one. Biro shama tama lomar l'fishanemar lo sisko duduv lo sisimu karcha b'nei nechem l'meis. I might have thought that the prohibition is only between your eyes because the Torah says bein einechem. Minan l'rabos kol harosh, shama lomar birosham l'rabos kol harosh. This prohibition of making a bald spot is not just between your eyes, but also on your head as well. You're going to find this in Parshas Emor. I might have thought that this prohibition of making a bald spot is limited to Kohanim. And it's such a valid Havamina, because the whole Parsha of Lo Yikarchu is by Kohanim. And in general, we find that they have mitzvah Yiseros. So it's not shocking that they have a mitzvah that the other Jewish people don't have. So Hakasa mitzvah Yiseru. You saw me nainam kan karcha, minam lahalan karcha, ma lahalan chayav al kol karcha v'karcha, v'chayav al harosh kebein ha'inayim, avkan chayav al kol karcha v'karcha, v'chayav al harosh kebein ha'inayim. We learn it based on Gzeirah Shavah. Uma lahalan al meis, avkan al meis. And just like over there it's talking about a meis, so too over here it's talking about a meis. Fine. Good. Period. All right. So far what we've established is the prohibition of rounding the corner of your head, shaving the five corners of your face, not making a bald spot in your head, and not making a serration on your body. The last two is over a mace, over the loss of a loved one. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the very bottom of the office.